Our God and Father, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you have done for us, that on this day we can celebrate that Christ is risen, that death no longer has claim on us. Death no longer has the victory. The grave has been swallowed up in the victory of the cross. Lord, as we celebrate our risen Savior today, may we know that joy afresh. Some of us are here, and this is our an Easter, a celebration that we have celebrated many times before. Some, it is brand new. Lord, may we celebrate all the same. May this be a day that we celebrate our risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. A celebration like this is more than just one person. It is more than just a few people. It is an entire community. And it does my heart good to see such a community out there this morning. You know, I don't know if you guys have gotten the news, but he is risen. Amen. Three small words, such a significance in meaning. Like, I'm not going to get tired of saying that. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And we usually associate Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday with celebration, with bright festive colors. But you know that first Resurrection Sunday did not find the followers of Jesus celebrating. They were not out in the streets celebrating the king on a colt. They were hiding. They were afraid. They were thinking perhaps they were next because their leader had just been executed. They didn't expect that to come. They didn't expect it to be the way that it was. They had misunderstood all that had just taken place that we have been talking about since last Sunday. It had been lost in translation on them. So they were hiding. In their minds, everything had fallen apart. But on Sunday morning, everything changed. Total transformation. Hope has arisen. Hope, once again. See, a week ago, the people had welcomed the king on the colt with shouts of, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Hosanna." 2 days ago, the people had rejected the king with shouts of, "We have no king but Caesar, and crucify him." But on Sunday morning, Jesus had the last word. And this was it. He is the King. Now, around this time of year, that there always arises a familiar sermon by S.M. Lockridge. "That's my King." How many of you have seen or heard that one? "That's my King. I wonder, do you know him?" If you've heard it, this morning might sound a little familiar. I'm not plagiarizing. I'm not stealing his message. But it should come as no surprise that when we who come declaring Christ King, sound somewhat similar. The message is similar. But we're going to dig into what the resurrection says about our risen King that we just sang about. See, coming out of the grave was Christ's coronation as king. This was his coronation day. You know what a coronation day is? We don't have one in the United States. We have an inauguration day. The coronation day is when the crown is placed on the king and the entire nation looks at him and says, "This is our king." Well, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We once were not a people, but now we are a people, and he is our King. And it was on the resurrection Sunday that he was crowned as king. And he is not just a rightful king. Many kings have had legal claims to thrones, only to be defeated and dethroned. He is the king. And he is not just a good king. A good king can still commit atrocities, right? No. He is the king. He's the best king we could hope for. And he is not just a political king where it's a limit on what he can do. No, there is no limit to the reign of Christ. The resurrection, the empty grave, did away with any limitation we could think of when it comes to his kingship in our life. And when we see the world around us in light of this truth, the world becomes a much lighter place. Paul actually writes about the illumination of the resurrection coronation in Ephesians chapter 1. He says this, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers or in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ." When? When did he work it in Christ? "When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." See, Jesus is not just a king. He's not just any king. He's not just some king somewhere. He is the king over all. Coming out of the grave was Jesus' coronation as king, because every king, every leader, every hero, everyone has fallen victim to the same villain. No matter how great their accomplishments, no matter how significant their contribution to history or society, no matter the power or resources available to them, every one of them has been defeated by the same foe, death. They couldn't conquer death, all of them, but one. And he's the king. The king. No king could conquer death but the king, Jesus Christ. But why? Why is he king? What gives him the right to be the king? Is it his lineage? I mean, he was born from the line of David. He was born in the right city. We talked about that last Sunday. Why is he king? Well, let me put it to you as plainly as I possibly can. He's king because he's God. He's king because he is God in the flesh, the God of the universe. Paul, again, he writes into the Philippians, "Have this mindset among yourselves, which is yours, in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." He is in the form of God. Now, don't mistake this. This is not mean that he was like God or that he was a God. He was in the form of God. In his very essence, in his very core, he was God, but he took on the form of humanity. He emptied himself. He didn't consider being like God, being God, as something to be clung onto, but something to be released. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He was God Almighty. He is God Almighty. But he took on fragile humanity. Why is he king? Because he humbled himself. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Why is he king? Because he humbled himself. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If he gives grace to the humble, why wouldn't he give the highest glory to the most humble, to the one you and I, we might humble ourselves? No one could stoop so low as Christ did, because he's God come in human form. He gets the ultimate glory because of that. See, He humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, stooped so low as to be our substitute and make himself the servant to all. And the Father exalted him to king over all, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can I get an amen for my brothers and sisters that he is king over all? Because one day, every knee will bow, whether by faith now or by force later. And every tongue will declare the truth that Jesus Christ is the King, the Lord of Lords. whether as conqueror over us or as the Christ who is for us. Jesus is the King. But what kind of King is he? Because this is a really important question for us to ask. Okay, he's the King. What kind of King can I expect him to be? Is he going to be a totalitarian dictator? Is he going to be, well, an oppressive tyrant? Perhaps, what if he is a benevolent monarch? Well, let me make it very clear to you. His character is written on every page of Scripture. His goodness is unquestionable. His wisdom is unfathomable. His power is unstoppable. His love is indomitable. He is the King. He's not just a king. He is the best King. He's the King of equality and equity. He is the King who is not deceived by outward appearances. He is the King who perceives inward reality. He is the King who reigns in righteousness, the King who judges justly, the King who leads lovingly, the King who gives graciously, and the King who is a merciful miracle worker. He is the King. He's the King of liberty. He took captivity captive. He broke chains of addiction. And he comforts us in our affliction. He delivers those in bondage. He erases false claims, and he shows us our true names. He is the one who rose from the dead and shows us our destiny. He is the King. And he is the King of generosity. He is the King with all power who came to give, not devour. He is the King who feeds the hungry and uplifts the needy. He heals the sick. He opens blind eyes and he makes the lame leap. He comforts those who mourn. He gives the world to the meek and he gives his kingdom to the poor in spirit. He satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. He gives mercy to the merciful and shows himself to the pure in heart. He adopts peacemakers. He reigns and richly rewards those who suffer for him. He is the King, rejected and despised by humanity. So he is therefore the King of the rejected and despised of humanity. He is the King. He's the King of glory. He's the King who is faithful, even when you and I are faithless. He is the King robed in splendor and shrouded in majesty. He is not the King of our expectation because he is the King beyond imagination. He is the King. He is the King of eternity. He is the King unchanging, the same yesterday as he is today and as he will be tomorrow. He is still the King. He is the King before the foundation of the earth, and he will be King long after this world that we are in turns to dust. He is the King. And he is the King of humility. He is the lowly King, the King with all authority, yet the King with the ultimate humility. He is the King without weakness, yet clothed in meekness. He is the King forsaken, but yet his reign still untaken. He is the King who suffered the worst death known in history to bring the greatest blessing known to humanity. He is the King who knows you, the King who calls you, and the King who loves you. He is the King. So now I ask you, why would you not want that King to rule your life? We all are ruled by something, whether it be a governing power, whether it be a celebrity, whether it be ideals, or dare I say it, our own desires. From what I can see, Jesus far surpasses them all. He is the King eternal. And he is the King supreme. Look, why would you not want him? Maybe you're not there this morning, that you're not ready for that. Let me tell you something. If that's you this morning, you're settling for surviving in the slums when you could be thriving in the palace of the King. I would love to welcome you into that family today. We who follow Christ are a royal family. And that is far more interesting than anything going on with Kate and William and Harry and all those, okay? This royal family. No, we are not perfect either. Just stick around long enough. But you know what? We know the perfect King. We have the perfect Father. That is our royal family. Where do we need to recognize that He is King? Maybe it's because we're afraid of other things. Maybe it's because we think something is more powerful than Him. Or maybe, why don't we live like it? Perhaps it's because we think there's something that He's not King over. Maybe it's that little sliver of our life that we think we are King or Queen over. So now we got to ask ourselves, we know what type of King He is. What is He King over? What is He King of? What does He have the right to rule? Where does He have His claim? What is the limit to this King? Every kingdom has its boundaries, right? Where do the lines fall for Him? Where's the limit of our loyalty to Him? Well, John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In case you missed it, that Word is Jesus Christ, because later on, it's going to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's talking about the King, and it says everything was made through Him. That makes Him King of creation. Not only is He that King of creation, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Finish this phrase for me. The enemy of my enemy is my
friend.
Thank you. Our biggest enemy. Everybody's trying to stop this enemy. Everybody's trying to avoid it, fighting it tooth and nail. And all we're doing is stretching out the time until we meet it, this enemy of death. Jesus is the enemy of death, and He beat it. And if He beat your enemy, you know what that makes Him? Your friend. He is the King who conquered death. The King who conquered death. So let's come back to this question. What is He the King of? Taken together, that He is the King over creation and the King who conquered death, that means that He is the King who created all things, so He is King over all things. He is the King eternal. He is the rightful King to every throne. He is the King that cannot be overthrown. He is the King who founded the Christian's faith, who furnished it to them, and who will one day finish it. He is the King. As resurrected Redeemer, He is the King of the comeback. As reconciler, He is the King of second chances. And as recreator, He is the King of renewal. He is the King over death and the King over living. He is the King of heaven who holds the keys to hell. He is the King. He is King over you and He is King over me. Whether or not you recognize it is irrelevant. He is King, and He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of peace and the King of joy. He is the King of hope and the King of love. He is the King. He is the King over the government, and He is the King in the ghetto. He is the King of the Jew and the King of the Gentile. He is the King of the black and the King of the white, and He is the King of every skin shade in between. He is the King of all nations. He is the King of our unity, who even reigns through calamity. He is the King supreme. He is the King who will conquer every contagion, conflict, and corruption that is currently corroding our culture. He is the King. In short, He is King of all. For from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. That's what that empty grave declares. Even death can't keep Him down. He is King over all. The question is, are you going to recognize it? Look, I'm not going to stand here and say that I have, in every aspect of my life, oh, I've got that little broom closet that you hide everything when the company comes over. You know, you shove that in there and, okay, I'm going to go talk to Jesus. I'm going to hide this part of my life in that broom closet. I'm not going to let Him see that. And He goes, no, you don't understand. There's only one room I want to go into in your house. That's it right there. That one spot that you don't want me to go. That one spot that you say, I don't have any reign over. No, no, no. I came to fix that too. And the only way, friend, the only way that is ever going to get fixed is when it is brought to the king. When it is brought before him and subjected to his rule too. Now you're going to struggle, you're going to fight, you're going to go against it, and you might make some small improvements, but it will never be truly fixed. It will never be truly made right until it goes into that tomb and dies with him and comes out his resurrected glory. Friend, what are you trying to hold back from the king? He knows. It's not like you're going to surprise him. He knows you. He made you. He is the king. There is no bit of the universe that he is not in control of. That includes you. As R.C. Sproul put it, there is no maverick molecule if God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That just means he rules over all. So that means there is not one molecule, not one atom that is out of his control. Or, as the Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. That claim was settled at the cross and at the empty tomb. He is the king. He is the king. He came once as king. The king on a colt. And he is coming again as king over kings. This time not just conquering death, but all that resulted from sin. And all who follow it. Between Friday and Sunday, between the crucifixion and the resurrection, there seemed to be a time where sin had won, where Satan was victorious, where evil ruled supreme. It seemed that way. But that was just a time for patience. That was just a time for the king's mercy and grace. It might be dark, and look, that's the time we're in right now. Between his resurrection and ours. There is a time. He is still on the throne. There seemed to be that day where Satan had bruised Jesus' heel. But let me tell you something. When that stone rolled away from the entrance of that tomb, it rolled right over the skull of that old serpent and crushed his head. That's the coronation that happened at the cross. He is the king, who stands ready to rescue all who are willing to follow him, to believe him, to trust him. For now, he is still the king on the colt, but one day he will be coming as the warrior king on a white horse, who rules with a rod of iron, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you prepared for that day? I tell you what, there were some people that were not prepared for this coronation. Think about the soldiers that were outside that tomb. When they found out what had happened, they were willing to put their lives on the line just to cover it up. They were blown back by this. Come to him now. Know him. Follow him. Live your life in allegiance to the king. He defeated your worst enemy. He defeated the biggest problem any of us face. What do you think you've got that he can't handle? Don't forget something. Before B.B. King and before Elvis Presley, he was the king. And he still is. The king over all thrones. He's even king over countries that don't have thrones. Dare I say he's still king over America? Sure, we might say, oh, we've turned our back on God. Doesn't mean he's turned his back on the Christians that are here. Friends, if he wasn't willing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 faithful, what in the world do you think he's going to do to our country? I'm not saying he's going to continue blessing. I'm saying he hasn't turned his back on you. Oh, we might be headed for hard times. He is still the king on the throne. We are still looking forward to our resurrection. We are still looking forward to the hope of that. We're not looking forward to, you know, okay, we want good economy, all right? I'm not preaching doom and gloom. But goodness, Christians, our hope is so much more than that. Our hope is for eternity. He is still king. We're looking forward to that day that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he is the King. But I want you to know something. Today is a day for celebrating our King. I hope that today that I can just give you a little glimpse of that King. Think about this. Every king you can still go see and see their tomb. Marked or unmarked, you can find it somewhere. Except for one. His tomb's empty. Amen. His tomb's empty. Amen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. He is alive. He is risen. He is the King. As you go, as we part ways, remember, we serve a risen Savior. May you go in peace.